We're discussing the rise of neobanks and non-bank financial technology, or fintech, that offer a different approach to bank accounts and mobile services, and what it all means when you sign up and put your money on these platforms. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. There was this report from ProPublica this month that revealed customers of Chime, one of the largest neobanks, have had their accounts closed without notice, leaving them with no way to access their money. And the reporters scoured hundreds of customer complaints. Do you use neobanks to manage your money? How about cash envelope apps to keep track of where your money is going? What questions do you have about potential risks and rewards using fintech? Join in 800-642-1234. Lauren Grootman is a savings expert and budgeting coach. She wrote the book called The Recovering Spender on How to Live Debt-Free. Lauren, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, help us understand how neobanks are different from traditional financial institutions like the bank around the corner.
Right. So I think the term neobanking is different. A lot of people maybe have never even heard the term before. But what neobanking is it's, think about it. It's an alternative to traditional banks, right? So a neobank for a company like, let's say, Chime, it's not an actual bank. It's more of a financial technology firm that partners with the bank. So it's backed by a bank, but it's pretty much, an app that helps you manage your money. It's not an actual bank. So, so think about Chime. So they are actually partnered with the Bancorp Bank and Stride Bank. So those two banks back the app as a financial technology firm. And then people use Chime as their bank, but there's no actual physical bank. All of their money goes into the app. Chime gives them a debit card, and then they use that as their, so-called bank. So there's actually no physical bank. There's no branch you can go into. And because of this, they can offer a lot of, different attractive alternatives and perks than traditional banks. So things like free checking accounts, no overdraft fees. One of the most, most important and attractive ones is a lot of times their marketing is, we can give you your paycheck 2 days earlier. So, your direct deposit goes in on Friday. We'll actually put the money in on Wednesday, even though your money usually doesn't go in on Friday. We'll lend you that money 2 days earlier. And so there's a lot of perks to it, but also some downfalls, which we're seeing now kind of come out in this new article.
Yeah, and we're going to look at those downfalls. But I want to ask, without any physical branches of a neobank, what about ATMs? What if you want to get that relic called cash?
Yeah, so a lot of them have, contracts or whatever, so that you can visit up to like 400 different ATMs without any ATM fees. Mm-hmm. So you can still have the same luxury of going to an ATM. You just need to make sure that you go to the right one, or some of them actually just refund you the ATM fees. So you might have to pay at the ATM, but once they see it come through the account, they'll refund you back.
So what influences did the pandemic have on the prevalence, the rise of fintech services, or have they been here all along and they're just getting more traction now?
Yeah, they've been here for, all along. I think a lot of people were very attracted to them because they didn't have to go into a physical bank. So, the option of being able to do everything online through the app was very attractive to a lot of people. But unfortunately, it brought out a lot of scammers as well. And I think that that's what we're seeing now with a lot of these, we're going to talk about the article, but, they had to shut down a lot of these accounts because there were a lot of spammers that were coming through, and at very, very high volume, they were trying to, figure out what accounts were real and what accounts were fake, and it became a very large task for them.
We're talking with Lauren Grootman, who is a savings expert, a debt-free coach. We're exploring the role of fintech in money management and what to watch out for. Do you rely on these mobile apps to keep track of your finances? Which ones? What has your experience been like? Join in at 800-642-1234. Lauren, you know, ProPublica, they did this investigation and said Chime provides services to an estimated 12 million customers. How are these fintech companies competing with the traditional brick and mortar and the traditional legacy banks, if you will, in financial services?
Well, I think that they are, you know, going to the masses, right? And they're marketing. I think that banks in a whole are behind in marketing when it comes to online marketing. And so these neobanks have really taken to online marketing, using online influencers to get the word out about their company, using what we call affiliate marketing, which is if, you know, somebody were to come to my website, which is laurengroupman.com. If people were to come to my website and read an article about Chime and click on my link, I would get a cut. You know, if they signed up, I would get, you know, a couple dollars or whatever. That's what's called affiliate marketing. So Chime and some of these other neobanks have really been lucrative in working with online influencers, working with affiliate partners to get the word out there. You know, where traditional banks, they really work on the community that they have in front of them. And neobanks can kind of service everybody in the country and they don't have to stay local. And so they've really been able to appeal to the masses and not have to just focus on one area.
But there have been all of these complaints to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the government agency that makes sure that banks and lenders and other financial companies treat you fairly. What is going on with these complaints?
Okay, so I'll tell you from my experience, because I have a very popular kind of review of Chime on my website, and I constantly get negative comments on that article. And they always focus around that the customer service is bad, that their money gets deposited into their account and then they can't get it out and then they can't get a hold of anybody to get it out. So that's been my experience of people reading my article and then coming to research about it and then thinking that I have anything to do with Chime. Like, you know, I can help them. And I just say, you got to reach out to the bank. But I think what happens a lot is that, you know, there are certain things that flag an account for fraud. And my guess is, and again, I'm not Chime, so I can't speak for them. I don't work for Chime. I am just a consumer like everybody else. I am, you know, and I'm not saying this just about Chime in specific. Any neobank, I think, probably has this issue, is that their fraud department is very strong. And they have to be very, very careful about making sure that people aren't misbehaving, you know, through these companies.
You mentioned, and you mentioned scammers. What's happening on that front? What do you see there?
Yeah, I think they're called Chime thieves, is what I've heard. But I think people signing up and getting a, you know, trying to log into other people's accounts or, you know, those, I mean, any kind of scammer, you know, can get into any kind of account. And so, you know, it takes a couple minutes to open an account there. So I think that people can open up an account and then, you know, route somebody's unemployment check into there, so to say. So, I mean, there's any sort of way that people can do that, not just with Chime. I mean, I don't want to, I know that Chime was the, you know, the main piece of the article. So I don't want to, you know, kind of make it all about them because there's other banks that are in the similar situation. But I think that with that problem is that they're just trying their best to keep up with the demand that they've been given and try and keep up with the legal stuff.
Author Lauren Grootman is with us, money management, frugal living expert, explaining the pros and cons of fintech, what these neobanks are, Do you use neobanks? What's your experience been like? What do you want to tell others about banking through non-banks or challenger banks, as they're sometimes called? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll talk more in a moment with Lauren Grootman on the Ideas Network. We're learning about the future of banking with no physical branches and what fintech startups are doing with debit cards and checking accounts and financial services. It's your money and these digital apps here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Neobanks are cropping up in a lot of different markets, and the biggest ones are serving millions of customers. But is your money safe? What if the neobank closes your account? Are you thinking about switching from a traditional bank to a neobank for some services? Are you wondering if your small business should go to one of these digital-only banking platforms? Join in 800-642-1234. Lauren Grootman is a budget coach and savings expert who tracks money management trends, and she's with us for the hour. So Lauren, what happens if your account is frozen or the neobank disappears? Is your money insured?
Yeah, so there is, I believe you mentioned it before, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And what they do is they're a U.S. government agency that makes sure banks, lenders, and, you know, financial companies treat you fairly. And so if you were to have a problem, you could reach out to them and they will handle your complaint. They will look into it for you, you know, so you are taken care of, you know, by that U.S. government agency. So you can always reach out to them and submit a complaint and they will help you in that area. But, you know, one of the things that has come up with this is that people's, you know, accounts have been frozen or terminated, and then they can't get their money. And, you know, Chime says that if that happens, they will return the funds to the account holder, right? But then some people are saying that they haven't gotten their funds and they're wondering where their money is. But, you know, then other people were saying that, yes, they did return their funds to them and that their sudden account closures were because of suspicious activity. And because they have to be so careful, they have to freeze the accounts to be safe. So, you know, that's another thing is, you know, a lot of these accounts are held by very, very strong, you know, rules. So that's good in a sense, right? You don't want a loosey-goosey bank, right? So their rules by which they govern the bank accounts are very, very strict. So if they see anything that looks suspicious, they're going to freeze your account. So that's good on one hand, so that you don't get somebody to break into your account and, you know, spend all your money.
But I thought these neobanks were operating outside of regulatory, you know, banking regulatory controls, and that the apps are not FDIC insured. Is that the case or not?
Yeah, that is the case. They don't have to, you know, they don't have to apply, you know, go by the FDIC rules. They don't have to follow those, you know, because they're not a bank. They're backed by banks, but they're not banks. So, and I think that's a common misconception, is that a lot of people think that this is an actual bank, but it is a financial, it's a fintech company. You know, a lot of these are, you know, Silicon Valley, like, companies that are started by people, and they're not bankers. It's a business. So that's the difference. You know, it's not a bank.
So let's step a couple steps back here. Looking to open an account with a neobank, how do you go about choosing one? Where would you start?
So I think you need to take a look and see, you know, what one works for you. Okay. So there's Chime, right? We've talked about them before. I mean, look at the reviews, see what the reviews are. Look at the Better Business Bureau, all of that. See, how deposits work. If you can take your money out via ATM, what happens if they freeze your bank account? How long does it happen, or how long can you take your money out? One of the ones that I recommend to people is Qube. That's Qube. And I like that one because it mimics cash envelope spending. And you played a little part of my YouTube video where I talked about that. But for that one specifically, it has a purpose of helping with budgeting. So I tell people to put in, like, you know, your spending money, your grocery money, and then it kind of breaks it up into cash envelopes, so to say. And that will help you with your budget, right? So whatever you're looking for, if you're looking for getting your paycheck a few days earlier, then maybe Chime is the one for you. If you're looking for help with budgeting, then maybe Qube is the one for you. You know, you have to kind of take a look and see which one works based on your financial position and, you know, your comfortability of it. You know, I always recommend to people too, like, don't put all of your money into it. Like, have a different checking account at your local bank.
That was my next question, is like, what, you know, how do you balance that? If you do have a traditional bank with a checking account, with a savings account, perhaps you've got a car loan and you've got a mortgage. And then you're also saying, hey, look at these neobanks over here, this shiny thing. You know, how do you balance that?
You know, I think that some people love the convenience of having everything online and you don't have to go into a bank. And, you know, especially it's great for people that travel all the time, that, you know, are remote workers that can't commit to a local bank, that don't want all of their money in a local bank. So that's a really attractive feature to neobanks, right? Is you don't have to put all of your money in a local bank. But I think, for me personally, I always tell people to have a backup bank that has money in it, because you don't want to be in a position where they freeze your account and you don't have any money. So have another bank where you keep a couple thousand dollars so that if something were to happen, you're not, like, you know, in a lot of trouble, that you still have a backup.
We're talking with Lauren Grootman, who's a consumer savings expert, as we explore the role of neobanks in our financial house. You can join in. What questions do you have about fintech or apps like Venmo or Cash App or Chime? Do you use any of these apps? Which ones? 800-642-1234. Lauren, you mentioned the cash envelope spending system. You know, what is the advantage to that? Why do you like it?
Well, so I actually have a background in drug and alcohol counseling. That's was my career before I started teaching money management. And so when I was writing my book, The Recovering Spender, I brought in a lot of my drug and alcohol counseling experience, because there's a emotional connection to when people spend money and when they overspend money. And so it's really important when people that are in debt and trying to get out of debt, they learn their triggers, they learn their spending habits. And you don't ever learn that by just swiping a card. You have to try and figure that out in other ways. And so for years, I've taught people how to use cash envelopes and actually use the actual cash. But when the Qube Money app came out, I was like, this is genius, because there are some downfalls to, you know, using cash, especially if you have, you know, if you're married and you want to split the cash, but one person has all the cash. And so with using an app like Qube, you can each have your own debit card and you set up cubes, which are like cash envelopes within the app. And basically what it is every time you make a purchase, your brain gets triggered and you physically and you mentally have to think about that purchase before you actually make it, which makes you pause for just a little bit and think, is this really what I want to do? And so it really helps people when they're getting out of debt, make those better financial decisions. Because, you know, if you have a grocery budget of $150 and you go to swipe the card, you don't even, you know, and it's $165, you know, you just swipe your card. Don't even think about it. But if you have it in your app, like the Qube app, $150, you have to like swipe up, see that you have $150, look and say, there's $165. I'm going to have to take some things out because I can only spend $165, you know, take off those chocolates and sodas and whatever else you don't need, and then swipe it when you get down to the $150. You've just made a better financial decision. So that's exactly what cash envelope budgeting does, is it tricks your brain into making better financial frugal decisions.
Because when that cash envelope digital, you know, bucket is empty, so to speak, it's empty, and you can't go anything beyond it.
Exactly. It's like holding cash in your hand. Like, you can't give $150 and expect to pay for $165 worth of food.
How does that work, though, at the checkout? Do you find that these apps are working for consumers in their day-to-day life at the grocery store?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. What's cool is that you have to have like your phone and the debit card together in order for these apps to work. So it's not like somebody can steal the debit card and go and use it, mm-hmm. right? And so, especially for the Cube app, that's one of the security features that they had built in, which I really like.
Because, multi-factor, yeah.
So there's different levels of security.
Lauren Grootman with us, giving us insight on financial technology services like neobanking, mobile payment, what fintech means to our lives. You can join in 800-642-1234. My question to you is, your teen or tween using a digital money app like Copper, Greenlight, FamPay, or Step? How has it been going? We'll pick this up on digital banking after a news update on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the world of neobanking this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So across the world, there are about 200 of these online-only banking platforms, not to be confused with online banks that generally have an approval to exist through a bank charter, right? Or offer more services like loans. How do you use mobile apps to manage your money? Do you trust these software platforms with bank offerings? Join in 800-642-1234. Lauren Grootman is a savings and budgeting coach with us for the hour. Let's bring in Diana now in Caledonia. Hi, Diana. What are your thoughts on these neobanks?
Good morning, Kate. It's a very interesting program. I've been thinking about my own brick-and-mortar experience with Educators Credit Union, and I have a truly seamless online operation with them, interaction with them for everything I need. And so I guess my question is, how are they different? How would my experience differ if I were to join Chime or another? I'm already completely online with my supposedly brick and mortar bank. I have the option of going into that brick and mortar bank if I want some specific financial information. But I do everything online already. What would attract me to a tech bank?
Yeah, Diana, thank you for that. Lauren?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. You know, neobanks, I think that people switch to them for many different reasons. A neobank that's 100% mobile, right? There are no fees at all. I think it's popular for people that travel a lot, so they don't want to have don't want to be tied down to a local bank where they would have to settle, you know, and have all of their money somewhere. No hidden fees. You know, I think the other things that I talked about before is getting your money earlier. If you had a direct deposit, those are some of the biggest things. No overdraft fees. If you're happy with where you're at and you're doing everything online, I don't see any reason to switch to a neobank for something like Chime. I think for something like Cube, that's more of a budgeting tool that helps you stay on track for budgeting and benefits you in a little bit of a different way. But if you're completely happy with your credit union and you're 100% online, I think the biggest thing for companies like Chime is the whole like no overdraft fees. Everything's free. You can do everything online. It's for people that don't want to go into a bank.
Well, I mean, these neobanks have also really gone after unbanked people, people who are low income, low to moderate income. What do you see happening there?
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, because that is another one of their things, is they're going after the people that don't traditionally bank. They're going after the people that are lower income. They're going after the people that can't set up the credit cards, that don't have a Visa, and, you know, targeting that demographic. And so, you know, I don't know how I feel about that, so to say, but that is a part of their demographic.
So what would be your recommendation for Diana, who all her needs are met right now by her credit union? Is there anything that might be interesting for her to try through one of these mobile apps?
I think that, like I said, in the app Cube, what I was talking about, or any other budgeting apps that are out there, those are great resources to stay on budget and learn your spending habits. Mm-hmm. I think if you could use any neobank or anything like that, I would go towards one that's going to help you with your financial goals, that has a specific purpose. And you know, there's neobanks that help with investing, right? There's neobanks that help with budgeting. I would choose one like that gives you that kind of very specific purpose, I guess. Yeah. So that's what my suggestion would be.
Let's go to Addison now in Platteville. Hi, Addison.
Hello.
Hi, what are your thoughts here?
Well, I'm sort of in a similar situation where I have a credit union myself, but I'm a college student, and with COVID, the whole credit union basically moved online. And I've found it very convenient since then to be able to just access it at any time from my app. And I do have that option of having branch locations all over the state. So with me being a college student and moving in and out all the time and not really knowing where I'm going to be next month, mm-hmm. I found it very helpful to have that.
So, Addison, would you try a neobank? What would those prospects be like?
Potentially. I don't know. I found I've been kind of happy with what I've had. I just am not sure what, as a college student, I would get from a neobank.
And what might happen, though, if you move out of state or move across the country or go to work in another country? What are your thoughts on banking?
I don't know. I haven't put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling in. Lauren, you know, Addison says that the pandemic changed things, changed the relationship with their bank because everything moved online.
Yeah, I think that's actually a great point, is that, you know, before the pandemic, a lot of the banks did a lot less online. And so the need for these neobanks was a lot greater. And now with the pandemic forcing a lot of banks to really work on their mobile integrations and mobile systems, they kind of had to go and do it online. And so, I don't know, my credit union, you know, came out with an amazing new app. And so, you know, you can do everything that you need to do through the app. I can totally relate to that. So it's made it a lot easier to do. But one thing I wanted to mention with his comment about the his age and being a college student is that, you know, neobanks actually want to target that population. They want to target, you know, the younger tech savvy consumers who are college age, you know, to 25, who are more daring and more trusting of, you know, online mobile apps, because they've grown up with it more. So he's right in their target audience, you know, of who they want to come in and join them.
Yeah. A little bit younger target audience. You know, my tween, my kids all have piggy banks that could really use to be emptied into an account. And I'm wondering what you see out of these different digital money apps like Copper and Step and things that are targeting these much, much younger, younger banking consumers.
Yeah. So Copper, for people that don't know, it's a debit card and banking app that's actually built for teens. It helps them like learn how to track their spending and all of that. I have had my kids use the Greenlight program before. I have a little bit of a different program set up for my kids at this point, but for the Greenlight app, I loved that. So you can get each of your kids. I think you pay like $4.99 a month and you get the app, and then you get each of your kids get their own debit card. You can set up chores, like their chore system through the app, and pay them right through the app, and then help them learn how to save and spend. And it's a really great money management app. So I definitely highly recommend that one as well. It's all about, teaching them how to do things. And, it's funny, I had a conversation, my son will be 16 in 2 weeks. And I had a conversation with him last week, because what I did is I actually went to my credit union and I set up bank accounts for each of my children at my credit union. And so I actually just pay my kids their chore money through, transferring money from my bank account in directly into theirs, and they each have their own debit card through the bank, and then they have a savings account attached to that. So that's how I do it now personally. Mm-hmm. But the benefit of these apps is it helps them track their spending, so you can see like in the app like how much they spend on this and how much they spend on that. But I had a conversation just yesterday. My son got his very first paycheck, and he's like, "I want to go to the mall." So
does the mall even exist?
We actually have like a destination mall near us. Okay. That's like, yeah, it's one of the very few ones that actually is worth going.
Sorry
to.
About my editorializing there, but
well,
carry
that's okay.
On.
Yes. So he said, "I want to go to the mall. Can you deposit my check? And then can you like transfer the money, because it's going to take a while to clear?" And I said, "Well, you can go into the bank and sign the back of your check and they will actually like give you the money." And he was like, "Wait, they do that?" And I was like, "Yes." Cause he thinks everything's digital.
Sure. Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So teaching these skills of like, you can cash a check is still a valuable asset that we need to teach our children. And sometimes that's lost when we just do all of the app things, that they don't know how to do things like go in and cash a check at a bank.
Oh, wow, yeah.
We lose that. So there's benefits to both.
We're talking with Lauren Grootman, who is a consumer savings expert. Still time to talk about neobanks, 800-642-1234. Have you changed banks recently or decided to try a neobank for a specific type of service? What attracted you to them? Have you been using Venmo or a Cash App or Zelle? Do you have any trouble? Still time, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're discussing neobanks and financial services that use digital-first platforms. The publication Banking Dive reported recently that several neobanks are now targeting U.S. immigrant communities, like the digital banking platform Majority, launched in 2019, serving Houston's large Nigerian immigrant community. And last month, it announced raising $19 million in seed money from investors. So what is the future of neobanks? Are legacy banks with branches and ATMs everywhere going to one day become obsolete? 800-642-1234. We have financial expert Lauren Grootman, who's with us for about 10 more minutes. Lauren, let's explore the purposes of Venmo and Cash App. Can you explain how those services work?
Yeah, so think of Venmo and Cash App as, they call themselves digital wallets. So they're basically, excuse me, Venmo is actually owned by PayPal. So They're money movers from one person to another. So Venmo, you know, for instance, me and my sister went out to dinner on Friday, and I paid for the bill, and she Venmo'd me, you know, half the bill. Mm-hmm. And that goes into my checking account. So it's a money mover between people. But now they're kind of competing a little bit with the neobanks, in the sense that you can now get a Venmo debit card. And so instead of transferring it, because Venmo will hold your money, mm-hmm. unless you transfer it into your bank account. So now you can get a Venmo debit card and use it like, you know, a neobank and keep your money in Venmo instead of transferring it to your checking account. So there's a few different ways you can use it, but you know, you can send people invoices, people can pay you, you can pay them. So, and same with Cash App, you can just, and there are some fees. So that's the downside to that, but you know, it's just a money mover from one person to another.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned fees. I'm wondering, how do these platforms make money? There's a lot of venture capital out there that is propping them up.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, now that the introduction of these debit cards comes out, they make money off of, you know, Visa, and every time somebody swipes their card, they make money off of that. So that's another way that these neobanks and companies like that are making money, is because they get money every time somebody swipes a card. So, mm-hmm. And then they get money from fees. So that's how, you know, think about that times millions. That's how they're making their money.
Let's go to Angela in Milwaukee with a question. Hi, Angela.
Hi. A couple years ago, I wanted to have my bathroom and kitchen remodeled, and I checked around to see if I could get a loan from banks and credit unions. And my local credit union that I've been a member for several years did give me a loan. And I was wondering, and actually I've had auto loans with them as well. I was wondering if neobanks provide that service. Do they give auto loans, you know, remodeling loans, line of credits, that kind of thing?
In my experience, they offer a spending account, but they do not, you know, offer loans or things like that. There are certain companies that you can go through, but you know, not like, you're not going to go through Chime, and because they're not a bank, they're, you know, a technology company. So they don't offer loans like that. No.
Angela, thanks. John now in Eau Claire. John, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I had a question about developing credit. So when I was younger, banking traditionally, I was building up a credit score. And if I was using an app like this, which I can see can really help you to track your finances and maybe learn about where your money's going and budgeting and stuff, but eventually people want to take out a loan for a car or for a house. And do these track any kind of credit or build any credit for people?
That's a great question. Thanks, John.
Yeah, that's a great question, John. So these do not, but this is a trick that these apps do not build a credit score, but I will tell you that one of the ways that I always tell people to build a credit score, which is a very, very simple way, is to go and get a secured credit card at a local credit union. And a secured credit card is, you actually have to put money on the card. It's different. And so go put it. Usually you need to put like $200 on this card. And the credit bureau sees that as a credit card, even though you're pre-funding it. And then you use that as, you know, to pay your bill. And then you, you know, fund it back up to $200, and you pay your Netflix bill with it. And then you put, you know, the money back on it with your checking account. And by doing that little simple kind of ninja trick, your credit score is going to go up significantly, because it sees a mix of credit, and then it also sees your payment history being good. So that's just a little ninja trick that people can use at a credit union. Mm-hmm. That's really, really helpful. But these specifically, again, because they're not banks, you're not gonna see any you know, debt payment or anything like that. It will help you if you use something like Cube. or any other money management apps that's going to help you stay on budget and be able to pay your bills on time. Obviously, that's going to help your credit and money management. But as far as actually helping your credit score go up, no, this won't help you.
Yeah. And so for clarifying here, your use of any of these neobanks is not going to affect your FICO score one way or another, positively or negatively.
Correct.
Okay. Let's look more specifically at small business owners who use Venmo and Cash App as an alternative form of payment. What would be the attraction for a small business to use a neobank?
So I think that you could use it in combination with like a Venmo. Okay. So I know, like, for example, one of my friends owns a cleaning company, and so she uses Venmo to get all of her clients to pay her because they can pay her right on the spot. So once she leaves a job, you know, she makes them pay her right before she leaves the house. So I can see then taking that and then transferring that into your Chime bank account, right? And that's going to help you keep everything separate, and then everything, if you travel for work or that kind of a thing, if you're out, you know, traveling out of overseas, you have access to it. So that could be another benefit as well. The only downside of that is, you know, as a business owner myself, sometimes I still need to write checks, like actual checks. And I don't have that option, to write in a physical check. So that's like a downside to that. So that's just something you want to keep in mind.
So looking into your crystal ball, where is fintech headed?
I think it's only going to grow. I mean, I think that the fintech, industry is just exploding and it's growing and it's getting better. I think there's kinks that need to be worked out, obviously, but I think that's the way we're going. I mean, with cryptocurrency, I mean, there's big apps that are going to be coming out when it comes to fintech and using crypto cash and cryptocurrency and Bitcoin as payments. And I think that's the way we're going to go. But, you know, there's still that personalized attention that people are lacking when they don't go into a bank. So I think there's a great combination that we can use between regular credit unions and regular banks and these, neobanks, but people are just going to have to figure out what makes them the most comfortable.
Yeah. Because I keep thinking about relationship banking is really how those traditional banks have grown up in their communities.
Right. Yep. Yep. And you know what? I spoke on a call at an event a couple weeks ago, and it was a fintech call, and it was all brick and mortar banks, and they have such a hard time letting go of that personal relationship and realizing that they need to get their skin in the game though when it comes to this, because if they don't, they're going to lose out. So I think that regular banks have to step up to the plate a little bit and join the ball game. And then, you know, the other banks are only going to get better and keep growing.
Lauren, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Lauren Grootman is a budget coach, savings expert. She wrote the book called The Recovering Spender on How to Live Debt-Free. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.